You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. Hey, say, Miami.
Good afternoon, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Sunday, February the 28th, we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios. I am your host, Mike. Joining me, as always, is Tom Ernesty. Tom, how are you doing today, buddy?
Oh, this is such about this for so long. To do this sort of thing, being able to broadcast live, give our thoughts, and still be able to have our shows hit on SoundCloud and everything, this is going to be fantastic, and I can't wait to continue to do this throughout 2021.
Yeah, this is a new platform we're trying out. Now, for most of you who are just listening to the podcast, as always, that will not change. That will not change. It's going to be the same podcast we've always done, but we've added a new wrinkle, added a new feature. It is, I don't know what you want to call it. We'll call it Dolphins Talk TV, where we will be broadcasting certain podcasts and some podcasts live as we record them. So for those of you who are watching either on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, you're going to be able to watch Tom and myself record live. And when we screw up, there's going to be no net, no editing.
No.
So if we misspeak somehow, you're going to see it live. So check that out. But yeah, this is a new feature here for those of you who are watching us. Hope you enjoy this, and there's going to be more of this in the future with all of our podcasts with Ian Berger, with Josh and Aaron the Brain, and the shows they do. So check it out if you're watching, and if not, just listen as always because it's the same old Dolphins Talk podcast. So let's get into some of the big stories in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Story number one we have to talk about, and we're going to touch on it briefly, Deshaun Watson. The rumors are still out there, and we're going to spend only a couple seconds on it because there's really not much more to talk about. Let's just say this. Nobody knows, Tom, what's going to happen here with Watson, and until there's something to report, until there's something to talk about, there's nothing to talk about. So let me just say this, and then we'll get your thoughts. Nobody, if you're a fan who thinks there's no earthly ideal, or I already screwed up. If you're a fan who thinks this will never happen and it's all just a bunch of made-up crap, I think you're a fool. I don't know if it'll happen, but I think it could happen. And I think the possibility is real. One of those things where there's enough smoke, there's a chance for fire. And I guess we'll talk about it more if something is worth talking about. But I do think the rumors are real, and I do think the possibility that Miami has interest is real.
Yeah, the interest is going to be talked about for time unknown. We don't know what the true interest is of the Miami Dolphins. That is clear. We don't know. Yes, the rumors are there. The Dolphins would love to have Deshaun Watson, but guess what? So would every other team. There are probably 18 to 20 teams that want to see Deshaun Watson on their team. When it comes to the Miami Dolphins, they've committed to Tua Tagovailoa. Days after the last game of the season, unequivocally, Chris Greer said Tua is the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in 2021. At that point, yeah, Deshaun Watson wasn't available. He's still not available. We have to make that 100% clear. Everything is pure speculation. There is no guarantee of anything, and based off what Ian Rappaport said, I believe it was on Friday, is that the Texans are digging in as Deshaun Watson is. They have no plans to trade him, And if this goes past free agency and we get to draft night and Watson isn't moved, it's off the table, folks. We have to move on from it and you know, root for the starting quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. And it looks like he's working hard to be the, you know, to be a better player now that he has a full offseason ahead of him. He's not rehabbing. He's just physically working out, and he is preparing to lead this team to hopefully greener pastures in 2021.
Yeah, and we'll see. Once again, until there's something to talk about, there's nothing to talk about. I'll just say this. I think a lot of fans of the Miami Dolphins right now are very naive on this topic, where they don't want to even talk about it, or they want to put their head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. Folks, something's happening. Now, whether it actually – what the end result is, who the heck knows? But something's happening here because, once again, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't think Houston can take – I think Houston, sort of like the seven stages of grief. Right now, they're like at the first stage, okay? They're working their way through this. And when they get to the end, they're going to have to accept that they probably can't hold on to this guy, and this can't go on past night one of the draft. Because if it goes past night one of the draft, teams like Miami, teams like the Jets and stuff who have multiple first-round picks – they're going to use some of those picks up. And if you're Houston, you can't risk that. You have to move him prior to that. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see where this goes.
Well, one last thing too, Mike, before we move on from it. We'll know the team's plans once it gets to free agency. If they start spending like drunken sailors like they did in 2020 and really use that cap space up, there's going to be no room for Deshaun Watson. So if the team starts building around Tua via free agency and they get to draft night and they make that selection at three, all bets are off. We know the team's plan at that point, but nothing is for sure until it's for sure. And we'll find out when it comes to Deshaun Watson and the Texans, but that's going to be some drama, and it's not going to stop until he's either at the facility practicing with the team, or he just flat out says,
all he has to do is send out a tweet. He has to issue a statement or send out a tweet, and this all goes away. But he hasn't done that, and it doesn't sound like he will. So, you know, put on your seatbelt, folks, because this is going to go for a while. And I think fans of the Dolphins need to just I think there's a segment of fans of Miami Dolphins who have closed their mind on this topic and just refuse to accept that this could, maybe, might, all those words happen. Just be open-minded, because until you know what the trade is, if a trade even happens, which it might not, you know, don't say it's a bad move, because you don't even know what they've had to part with, if they part with anything to get them. Now, maybe it's a big nothing at the end of the day, and that's fine too. But, okay, next topic, Tom. The Miami Dolphins running back situation. As we head into the offseason, you know, running back is one of those spots, one of those positions to where they need to upgrade this spot, you know, big time, because what they have in house isn't good enough. Miles Gaskin had a great year. Salvin Ahmed had a great year, but those guys, their ceilings are let's say limited, where you're only going to get to a certain spot with them, and they're not going to be lead number one running backs on a team that you're going to make a playoff run deep into the playoffs. So they have to upgrade this, and this is the age-old argument of what does Miami do at running back? Is it worth paying a free agent running back? Do you take someone in the draft? I know some fans don't want to spend any capital at all on running back. They don't want to spend any money in free agency. They don't want to use a pick in round one. They just want to get someone cheap. That, to me, is the wrong approach. That doesn't work. The Miami Dolphins right now are in a great spot in that they have a quarterback on a rookie contract who is relatively cheap. So if they want to spend a little money here on a running back, I'm all for it. I mean, I am all for it. Spend some money. And really, the only free agent running back I like is Aaron Jones from the Packers. I think all the rest, I mean, I'm not interested in Carlos Hyde. I'm not interested in some of the guys for Houston. They're going to be let go. I'm just not interested in those guys. It's really Aaron Jones or bust for me in free agency. And I think, you know, I think that's where Miami, it wouldn't be nuts to make a play for Aaron Jones. He is one of the most productive backs that we've seen in the league the past few years. And, of course, money's always a factor. No one's saying pay him like he's the top one or two running back in the league. That'd be crazy. Of course, money's a factor. But if they want to give a guy $12 million a year or so, roughly, give him $25 million of his contract to be guaranteed, hello, that's fine. I mean, I'm all for that. I think this kid is a big-time player. And the other thing is, you know what you're getting with someone like Aaron Jones. The risk level is less because he's proven. I mean, he's really proven. This guy scored 30 touchdowns the past two seasons. He's a big-time player. He's a big-time player. Tom, what are your thoughts here on the running back situation with Miami?
Well, if you listen to Draft Night 2020 on night two, you know my position when it comes to running back. Get me a running back that can be the bell cow. Give me a guy that is going to produce big numbers for the team, an absolute game breaker that really changes the dynamic of the offense. How do you help a young quarterback in this league develop? You build them an offensive line, you get them a running game. Those two things are vital for a young quarterback. The Dolphins do have a good back. Like you said, Myles Gaskin had a very productive season. And I believe he played, 12 games last year. I think he missed three or four.
Who was it?
He missed a couple with COVID, and then yeah, there was another one where he got injured. But either way, he produced almost 1,200-plus yards of offense in his time when he was available to play. He is for sure going to be on this roster. Salvin Ahmed, he should have a chance to be on this roster. But you still have to really look at it and think, is Myles Gaskin a guy that can carry you deep into the postseason? The answer is no. He's not that guy. He is that change of pace back. We can see what he can do with the ball in his hand. He's very capable out of the backfield. He's got sure hands. That is important for really any running back. When it comes to a guy like Aaron Jones, absolutely. I think they have to make a play for him based on reports. There's mutual interest between the two parties. So, yes, you're going to have that conversation. We're going to find out during that couple-day tampering period that if the Dolphins are going to potentially strike a deal with Aaron Jones. If not, Aaron Jones isn't the only running back that's available. I'm in the court, and we're going to talk about this on our next topic too. I'm a proponent of also looking at guys that have been productive, that's not going to break the bank, and you can still go out and get a guy in the first night or second night of the draft that's going to be able to produce. Guys like Gus Edwards is going to be available. I'm a big fan of Gus Edwards. He's been consistent, averaging over 700 yards for his first three seasons. Each year, he averages 5.2 yards per carry. He's going to come with half the price tag. So if the Dolphins don't want to spend for Aaron Jones, there are alternative options. And obviously the draft is going to play a role too. But they do need a solid running game that will produce and help Tua develop. You cannot be ranked 22nd, 23rd and think that's okay. Let's just run with Gaskin and Ahmed and maybe you draft a running back. You have to be able to bring a guy in that's going to be a difference maker in games. With Gus Edwards, possibly Aaron Jones, possibly. And then obviously we're going to talk about the draft here in a few minutes, but I think running back is one of those positions they have to address, and they have to address it in the first few days of free agency. If not, it's going to be the first night of the draft.
Yeah. And I think it's also one of those things where if they sign someone like Jones, let's say, that doesn't stop you from still drafting Najee Harris. It doesn't stop you from still drafting Travis Etienne. It doesn't stop you from still drafting Javonte Williams. You can have both. Okay. It's not like Myles Gaskin here is Jim Brown. You know, if he's the number three running back, that's okay. He's still going to play. He'll still be on the field, but they can upgrade this because of the multitude of picks they have and because of some of the flexibility they have here with the cap to make more money under the cap and be, you know, active players in free agency. It's okay. So they can do both. I know some people go, well, if you sign Jones, you're out on everyone in the draft. No. You can do both. And I also think here why running back's so important to me this offseason, especially with a veteran and someone like a Jones, is because this. Tua Tagovailoa. Let's assume they ride with him, because I think that's probably the most likely scenario. He's the starting quarterback in 2021. I want a veteran running back behind him who's proven, because we need to find out this year if Tua's the guy. And with a rookie, I don't care how good we think that rookie may be, with someone like Najee Harris or whoever, a rookie is still a rookie. And there's risk involved, and it takes time for them to learn the NFL game and pass blocking assignments, this, that, and the other. And I don't want to risk Tua being hindered any more in any way than we have to. And I want to give him a proven number one NFL running back. And if we have to spend a little bit of money to do that, I'm 100% with it. And, you know, I see something, and I really want to focus on Jones, because once again, I don't want to see them go out there and sign a Mark Ingram. I don't want to go out there and see them spend money on Todd. What's his name there for the Rams? Todd Gurley or Hyde or those guys, you know, fine people, fine Americans. Don't want to see him on the Miami Dolphins. It's either Jones or bust for me. And I think I am all for it. This notion that some people have that you don't pay running backs stuff. I think it's hogwash. Jones has caught 97 receptions the past 2 years. He's rushed for over 2,100 yards, scored for 30 touchdowns. And for those of you who say, well, it's because he plays with Aaron Rodgers, it's the Packers offense. Yeah, that's the point. Make Miami's offense more like the Packers. And how do you do that? You add good players. And you put a lot of good players around other good players. You get big-time wide receivers, big-time running back, and you let your quarterback grow, hopefully, which we see in 2021. And we have an offense like the Packers where Aaron Jones will put up similar numbers in Miami that he put up in Green Bay. So this whole notion that, you know, this, that, and the other, that he's only putting up numbers because he played for the Packers, I think is hogwash. I just think Miami needs to invest in running back heavily, both in free agency and the draft. Like I said, if they come out of it, they go out there and pay someone like Jones and then take Javonte Williams, say a pick number 36, and then you pair with the guys we already got. That's a good running back room. That's a very good running back room.
You know, one thing I said on social media this past week when having conversations about, you know, potential different players coming in, there is a portion of the fan base, albeit a small portion of the fan base, that is allergic to giving Tua weapons.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Give your quarterback good players. The running back room last year, we thought Jordan Howard could have been good. He couldn't get past the refrigerator in most days last year. Yeah, he scored touchdowns. He averaged 1.2 yards per carry. It was terrible. He was worse than Kalen Ballage. Matt Breida was a shell of who he was in San Francisco. Terrible. We saw late glimpses of the guy he was in San Francisco, but it was too little too late. I think the team's mind is made up on Breida. They're not going to bring him back.
It's his birthday today, too. Thanks for ruining his birthday, Tom. You ruined his birthday.
but there's two things that can, you know, two things can be true, right?
Yeah.
You can bring players in free agency, and you can build and bring in guys via the draft. You can do both and be successful at doing both. Miami is in a position to be able to do both. Yes, this year's cap space is not plentiful, obviously, because of what happened with the pandemic and not, you know, filling stadiums up with fans. But I will say this. The Dolphins have been smart with contracts over, you know, for the last 2 years. I believe they've been very smart with contracts. And I think this year will be no different. You could see a guy like Aaron Jones being brought in for big money, $15 million a season. But his cap number is what's important. What's his cap number? And I think they can keep that number low and just backfill, you know, years 2, 3 and give him more money in those years. And then you have an out in year 4 if you give him a 5-year contract. There are ways that you can bring in guys, stay under the cap, keep the flexibility there, and keep building this team. Because in 2022, the cap space is going to go probably well above $200 million based on all these TV contracts and, you know, fans going back to the stadiums, which we all can't wait for. We all want to be back at Hard Rock Stadium watching this team play. It's going to be fun. But you can get guys in free agency. Remember, we signed Byron Jones. Who expected that? Raise your hand. Did you expect the Dolphins?
Hey, Kyle Vannoy.
Byron Jones?
Who got $30 million guaranteed, Kyle Vannoy. People forget about that. They think he's out there for free playing, you know, for fun. He got $30 million guaranteed on top of what Jones got. Miami was very active last year. That's why when I see reports saying Miami might not be active, this, that, and the other, folks, they're going to be active. They're going to be active.
They will be, and we're going to be here to talk about it. But we definitely want to make sure that all the listeners and everyone viewing knows that the team is going to be players in free agency again. They will be doing it because obviously they have a plan going into the draft, what they would like to do. They hold the third pick. Thank you, Houston. They have the third pick. There's going to be a lot to talk about there, and we're about ready to get into that.
Yeah, one more thing I want to close out, because I see this a lot with people who interact with us on, you know, the various social media platforms and other. They're saying it drives me up a wall. If there's one thing that really annoys me right now, this is what I'm about to say. Probably annoys me the most this offseason. These people who have this logic of, well, Miami signed Jordan Howard last year. How did that work out? So never sign a free agent running back ever again because one guy stunk or because you missed on one guy. That logic is so asinine to me. And I feel like it's people who just don't understand how this works. Nobody bats 1,000. You're going to swing and miss on stuff. And that doesn't mean if you swing and miss, you never do anything ever again or try or attempt. These people, it's like their lips are flapping, but their brains are napping. They don't even think about what they say. And it drives me up a wall. Look, the Miami Dolphins, the last time they picked third overall, who did they take? Deion Jordan. So I guess we shouldn't pick number 3 this year because we might get another Deion. The logic makes no sense. And people have no clue what they're talking about when they say stuff like that. Yeah, Jordan Howard was a bad signing. It was a bust. He failed. He was terrible. But guess what? That doesn't mean you don't go out there and try again to improve your running back room in free agency. Yeah. Just because you swing and miss doesn't mean you stop trying.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it just drives me up a wall. Now, let's get into Manscaped. Nice segue there. Manscaped.com, folks. Everyone go to Manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk and save 20% in your order and also get free shipping. So it's the place where, you know, for all of your male grooming habits, you want to go to Manscaped.com. Obviously, the Lawnmower 3.0. You can get the weed whacker. You can get boxer shorts. You can get undershirts. You can get all their products. They got they got the crop mat, the crop mop. They got so many outstanding products. And guys, you know, as we sort of turn to spring here and it gets a little warmer, you know, you want to be groomed. You want to be groomed down there. We all know where down there is. We got to be groomed below the waist, as they like to say at Manscaped. So everyone go to manscaped.com, check out the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% on your order, get free shipping, and they do have amazing products. I don't know what else to add on top of that. They have amazing products. Check them out. Last topic, we're going to close out the show. Unless, Tom, you want to add something here. On Manscaped.
No. Like you said, the products are great. Check out Manscaped. Use the promo code. Get your stuff. But now let's talk about early round draft strategy because we're getting closer to the draft. And obviously what we're going to talk about today may not be what we talk about in about 3 weeks after the first round of free agency happens. Strategy might change. So
correct.
This
is a free agency talk, and we're going to go under two assumptions here. Well, one assumption, really.
Tua?
Yeah, it's about the Tua. Let's assume they hold on to Tua and they don't trade for Watson. Otherwise, all these picks are gone, and there's really nothing to talk about. So we're under the assumption Tua is a quarterback, and they don't make a trade for Watson. So that's the big assumption. And we don't know what they're going to do in free agency, but honestly, I don't think that's going to change much here with the draft in that even if they went out there and broke the bank for a big wide receiver – they still need to draft another wide receiver. Now, they might not take him in round one, but they still need to add a wide receiver. If they go out there and they spend money on a running back, they still need to draft another running back. If they go out there and get a pass rusher, they still need to add other guys to the front seven. So free agency does affect some of this, but it doesn't affect it as greatly as some think. So in the draft, Tom, let me get your thoughts here. I want to first – here's our needs, I think. running back, and this is no special order, running back, wide receiver, center, pass rush, slash linebacker. It could be an edge rusher of some sort. I think those are the needs that no matter what they do in free – I mean, obviously, if they spent money on a center in free agency, you can probably cross it off the list. But with the other ones, I don't think that's going to change much no matter what they do in free agency.
Right.
Here's my first big statement that I want to get your reaction to this.
Okay.
I would be stunned if the Miami Dolphins make a pick at pick number three. I don't think they're going to take a player at three. I don't think they want to take a player at three. I think that the Miami Dolphins, when it's all said and done, want to trade down. How far down or with who knows. But they do not want to make a pick at three, and they want to move down out of that spot and pick up extra capital, whether for this year or next year. Because I don't know what the value is at three for Miami. Wide receiver three is a little high for my liking. I love Chase. To me, Chase is the best wide receiver in this draft. I love him. I think he's a star. But taking a wide receiver three, when you can slide down and still get another good wide receiver, and plus there's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. You don't need to take one at three. You're going to get a really good guy, whether pick 18, whether pick 36 or pick 50. You don't need to take one at three. And that's just where I sort of am. I think they're going to trade down out of this spot, and I'd be stunned if they took a guy at three. Your thoughts?
So I'm with you. I would – my hope is that pick number one, obviously we know, is Trevor Lawrence. That's not even up for debate. No questions. It's Trevor Lawrence. Pick number two, depending on what happens with the Jets. If the Jets still have Sam Darnold on opening night, if they do not take a quarterback, let's say they take Chase, or let's say they take Penei Sewell, the Dolphins are sitting at three in prime position with the Atlanta Falcons, who want to get younger quarterback and have someone learn behind Matt Ryan. You have the Carolina Panthers, who, by all the reports that came out, they are desperate for a franchise quarterback. Desperate. So if Deshaun Watson's off the table and Houston's not trading him on draft night or before draft night, the Carolina Panthers is, from my opinion, the team to watch, because that is the team that is going to want to offer the moon to move up ahead of Atlanta. Now, you got to remember, Atlanta may not want to take a quarterback, but they're going to posture that way because they want Carolina to send as much as they can to pick three to move up and take a quarterback, and then Atlanta can get the guy they truly want. So there's going to be a lot of posturing, I think, by Atlanta. I also believe there is a chance that the 49ers are going to be in play. Yes, they don't pick in the top 10.
That's okay.
I also overshot the Eagles. The Eagles are a chance as well. Are they really sold on Jalen Hurts?
I think they are.
You think so?
I do.
I don't know. I think they are. They tried to make it work with Carson Wentz before they moved him. In addition to that, it seemed like I think it was Peterson wanted to play Hurts, and Howie Roseman wanted Carson Wentz. So if that's the case, how much does the owner like him? And there's a new coach and regime there. They didn't draft him. So there is a chance
the
Eagles can move up too. But I agree with you 100%, Mike. Trade back. Get more draft capital, because if you slide back three or four spots, you're picking up a first-round pick in 2022, right?
Yeah.
You're going to pick up extra draft capital in this draft. That allows more flexibility, because we're talking about early-round draft strategy. If you trade back, now you can go from pick 18, and now you can move up a little bit if you wanted to get a particular player like a Micah Parsons or Rashad Bateman or whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever they want to get, they now have more capital where it's just like they're not going to miss it, but they can get a very good football player still in the top 15 of the draft.
Parsons is an interesting name just to remember, I think, for Miami Dolphins fans. Because when you look at what Chris Greer and Brian Flores, what they sort of how they were sort of raised under that Parcells, Bill Belichick, and all that stuff, I think that's a guy who they might salivate over. Now, look, I know he had some off the field stuff, but the off the field stuff, it was, I mean, look, it was bad, but it's more of a hazing nature. It wasn't like he robbed a bank. It wasn't like he smacked around abroad. You know, it was like, I mean, everyone needs to, I mean, yes, the Parson off the field stuff wasn't good, but it also wasn't, you know, he should never play in the NFL stuff. So I think people need to put it in context. They need to put it in context with Parsons. But if I wouldn't be shocked, because he would solve their issue at linebacker, he would help the pass rush, he would solve a lot of issues, he checks off a lot of the boxes of what they need on that side of the ball, and that's something to keep in mind. Once again, who knows if they like him or not? I'm just throwing it out there.
Spitball.
My next big statement, and this one's going to, I know, get a lot of people upset, but I don't care, Tom. I've never cared. I'm done taking offensive linemen at the top of round one for Miami. And I say this.
I'm going to duck. Get out of the way.
In a vacuum, I say this. Here's why I say this. Last year, the Miami Dolphins took Austin Jackson round one, Robert Hunt at the start of round two, and they hit in round four. I think they hit at least on Solomon Kinley. Then they went out and paid Ereck Flowers. Okay, so a nice chunk of change. I'm not saying they don't have to take an offensive lineman in this draft, but inside the top 10, no. Even in round one, I'd probably say no, because, yes, we have to improve the offensive line, but just like all of us want to see Tua Tagovailoa take that leap from year one to year two and grow. Look, he only played 9 games last year. He was a rookie, this, that, and the other. The same goes for the offensive line. You have to give these guys time to develop. If we go out there and take Penei Sewell, what, Robert Hunt now, where does he play? You're going to move him inside the guard. Okay, well, then what do you do with Ereck Flowers? I mean, it's like we invested 3 picks last year in the offensive line. We signed two people in free agency. I know it didn't solve the problem, but it improved the offensive line. Let's see them develop. Let's see them grow. If they want to take an offensive lineman at pick number 36, okay, I'm fine with that. They want to take an offensive lineman at pick number 50, I'm fine with that. Round three, I'm fine with that. But, you know, inside the top 10, no. At pick number 18, just assuming they take a pick there or if they slide down some, no. I mean, we've invested so much in this offensive line. Now, if they want to go sign a veteran, a proven guy, go for it. Go for it. I'm all for that. But another rookie, I mean, at some point, we got to go and let these guys develop. And I mean, if we go out there and draft Penei, who's not going to play? It is, there's only 5 offensive line spots. Someone that you just invested a high pick on can't, I mean, they all can't be on the field at the same time because none of these guys play center. So they all can't be out there. Who's not going to play? And if it's Flowers, then why did they pay him what they paid him then? To me, I get it. The offensive line needs to be fixed, but I think it needs to be fixed in free agency and not so much of the draft. Penei Sewell looks like a very good player. And not knocking Penei Sewell. God bless him. But I don't want to see him in Miami at pick number 3. I mean, not that it would be a horrible pick. We'll sit here in April and I go, it's a fine pick. He's an offensive lineman. I'm sure he's very good. But I think at some point it's overkill. It's just overkill at some point. And give some of the guys that we took last year another year to develop. And heading into 2022, if those guys were – one of those guys or a couple of those guys don't live up to the hype, don't make that leap, okay, we need to reinvest in the offensive line then. But to just keep drafting early round picks, you know, and when I say early round, I'm talking round one, top half of round two. Those are early round picks in the same position over and over again, and the results don't change. At some point, you got to change up your strategy. And maybe they need to add another veteran via – free agency instead of just continuing the cycle of high picks in round one. I mean, Tom, what are your thoughts?
I'm not – all right, so I'll start off with this caveat. I'm not opposed if they believe that Penei Sewell is a complete game changer on the offensive line, then, you know, they make that pick. But I'm more of a proponent of letting guys develop. Right. So in 2019, Brian Flores was hired and Chris Greer was now officially named the GM of the team. They want to develop players. Their intent on building the roster was to develop young players. Okay. So you have Austin Jackson. You took him at pick 18 last year. Was he good? He had moments. Was he bad? He had moments. They're not giving up on Austin Jackson. Robert Hunt, he played well at right tackle at times. Did he play bad? Yeah. Did he play good? Yep. He's a rookie. Solomon Kinley started the year unbelievably. He fell off towards the end. He hit the rookie wall. Rookies hit the wall. This is year two. The line is going to be pretty much intact, maybe outside center. I really think that they are going to make plays in free agency for center court. I mean, Lindsley from Green Bay, he's the best center in the NFL in 2020. He's been consistent his entire career. I think he'd be a great play. I think they could even bring back Ted Karras in free agency. They may like the fact that he's going to come cheaper. He's still on the good side of 30. We don't know what their plans are yet. We'll find out in free agency in a couple weeks. But I am here to say, don't draft at 3. If you can move back and still get a very good offensive lineman, who knows? Penei Sewell is being talked up. But he may not even be picked in the top 5.
He might not be the top offensive tackle in the draft. I know there are some people, I think Jeremiah on TNFL Network doesn't have him as the number one offensive tackle in this draft. So I do think he'll go top 10. He might not, but he might go the second half of top 10. There's a chance. Who knows? Look, yeah. It only takes one team to fall in love. So we don't know.
Remember, Tristan Wirfs was the number one tackle in the draft last year. By many accounts, he was number one, and he was one of the last ones taken in the first round.
He was the fourth one taken, I think.
So offensive linemen can fall. If the Dolphins really want an offensive lineman, they could still get one, not at 3. But they still have an opportunity to do so. But I agree with you, Mike. I think they are going to try to get some guys in free agency. They're not going to spend the moon on another guard. They have Ereck Flowers. They're not giving up on Ereck Flowers after a year. I thought he played really well, especially in pass protection. He was fantastic. Center is the sweet spot here. Maybe right guard, but I don't think they're ready just to say, all right, Kinley's going to go to the bench. We're going to sign another guard in free agency and be done with it. I think center is the spot they're going to look at. And if they don't sign anyone in free agency and they let Ted Karras walk, they don't sign Corey Lindsley, get me Creed Humphrey, please.
Well, that's what they're doing. Then they're setting themselves up to where in the draft they must get someone, which I don't like that. I don't want to be put in a pigeonhole to where you must draft a position in round one or two, because I just think – then other teams know that and they can leverage that against you and stuff. So I don't like that. But I think center and guard really is, you know, Austin Jackson, I have high hopes for. I think this kid's going to be fine in year two.
He's 21.
Yeah, he's really young. And I thought he held his own last year for the most part. Very, very good. I think he was very good. Solomon Kinley, I think he's better at left guard than right guard, but still, Ereck Flowers, this is the final year of his deal. So if Solomon Kinley.
But they can get rid of him after year two.
After year two, they can move on from him. So if Solomon Kinley has to play on the right for one more year before moving to the left, I'm fine with that too. Robert Hunt, he's the question mark at right tackle. He wasn't awful last year, but again, they spent such a high pick on him. You can't give up on the kid after 1 year, and I don't want to see him head to the bench this year if they take someone like Sewell. I want to see Hunt out there. Let's see what he's got.
Yeah.
Let's develop him. Let's make him better, and let's see what he's got. Center's a question mark. Ted Karras, he was fine. He was fine. Nice guy. Good locker room guy. He was okay. He's fine. But if they can upgrade that spot somehow, I'm all for it. But we have spent so many draft picks in recent years, rounds one and two on offensive linemen. And I know just because you miss, you got to keep trying. I do get that. But I don't know if we missed on the guys last year yet. That's the thing. I want to see them one more year before we go back to the drawing board and go, okay, we got to fix offensive line early in this draft, invest in it. I don't know if we're at that spot yet. So let's see these guys year two. let's see how they look, and let's add a piece, maybe a veteran piece, and guys, middle of the draft. I don't know if we need to use early round picks on them when we have a lot of holes elsewhere where we need immediate help, wide receiver, running back, linebacker, safety, and all that stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of directions this team can go.
Which is good. Yeah.
This is going to change free agency.
Yeah, it'll change, but it's also good in that people forget this team won 10 games. They won 10 games last year. They almost made the playoffs. So you want to be in a spot to where you don't have a glaring need. You want to go into the draft to be able to take best player available and improve your team. And I think that's kind of where Miami is. Yes, they need to improve wide receiver and they need to improve running back. We get that. But they don't have to take one of those spots at pick 3 or 18. They can take those guys in rounds 2 or later if they add a piece in free agency, which would open up this draft greatly for Miami to just take best player available, whether it's a linebacker, whether it's, you know, even Pitts, the tight end. I know we have a great tight end. If they trade back around 1 Miami, say they're picking 9th or 8th or 10th, whatever, and Pitts is there, it's just like adding a wide receiver because the weapon in the passing game, you pair him with the tight ends we already have. Look out. It makes Miami more complex on offense and improves the offense. You want to be in a spot to take best player available, period, end of story. And that's what I think Miami will use free agency to do because, once again, this team, yes, it has holes. It doesn't have the glaring holes it had last year, though. Last year, they had to do heavy lifting in free agency, heavy lifting in the draft. This year, the heavy lifting's not there. They just need to tweak and fine-tune where they're going. Now, last thing, Tom, and I spoke about this briefly when I was on with Ian Berger probably a month ago now, and our friend Alan Papart sort of wrote an article on this over the weekend, and I think, to me, the Miami Dolphins approach, and we sort of spoke about this with the trade down, but the trade down approach, here's why I think it's imperative, actually. To me, I call this method of them trading down, especially in round one, the Tua Tagovailoa insurance policy. Because if we roll with Tua Tagovailoa in 2021, we hope he makes that leap. We hope he makes that giant step. We hope he shows the world, I'm a franchise quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. This is my job until I say otherwise. And he improves greatly. He makes strides and all that stuff. We hope for all that. But as we know, hoping sometimes isn't enough. And guys sometimes fail. And guys sometimes fall on their face. And guys sometimes don't work out. And let's just cut to the chase. He might suck in 2021. And if he does, I'm not saying he will. I'm saying if he does, what's the plan for 2022? Because if he sucks in 2021, you can't go into 2022 with him as your starting quarterback because jobs are on the line. People have their NFL careers on the line. What's the plan? Because in 2022, all this draft capital Miami had in 2020 and 2021, it's gone. Okay, it's gone, folks. They go back to just being a team with one pick in each round. And if they're picking 15th or 16th after like an 8-8 year, and you need to improve your quarterbacks, guess what? Free agency, you ain't going to get nobody any good there. You're going to get the same run-of-the-mill guys who are always on the market, you know, Tyrod Taylor types. And in the draft, if you want to move up to get a guy to jump from, you know, pick 15, 16, somewhere around there, all the way to the top 5 of the draft or so, it's going to cost you. If you don't want to part with picks for Watson, imagine parting with all those picks for an unproven rookie who's going to take a year or two to develop. That's really going to drive you nuts. So why the Miami Dolphins, I think, need to take the Tua Tagovailoa insurance policy approaches, you trade down this year. Because your needs, they're there, but they're not so great. Because, once again, you're a 10-win team. You trade down. Say you trade down from pick number 3 to 8. Maybe you trade down again from pick 8 to number 15 or 16. Say you take pick number 18 and you trade out of round 1 totally from there and you accumulate extra draft capital for 2022 in rounds 1 and in rounds 2 because this is why you're set up in 2022. If Tua is great this year in 2021, he's great. You go into 2022 to be able to then add a ton of weapons around him. That doesn't stop you from adding weapons this year. You still got free agency. You still got picks in rounds 1 and 2, multiple ones possibly. But they're just not as high as where you are now. And if Tua sucks this year and you need a quarterback, well, now you go into 2022 multiple first-round picks, multiple second-round picks. And if I got to trade up to pick number four to get my next quarterback, it's so much easier. That's why the Miami Dolphins, as we said throughout most of this show, I'd be stunned if they're picking a pick three. I think they might not just trade down once. I think they might trade down twice from pick three. They could go from 3 to 8, and they could go from 8 to 12 or 8 to 15, whatever. And then at pick 18, they might trade down again because they're going to add multiple second and third round picks, not only in this year's draft, but add high picks in next year's draft. Because if they roll with Tua, let's go under that assumption, no Watson, Tua, you got to protect yourself in case he doesn't make that leap. He doesn't show he's the guy. And that's how you do that, by adding picks in next year's draft to have an insurance policy that you can find your next quarterback if he shows he's not. We hope that that's not the case. We hope that's not the case. But and you have to be prepared for it.
Yeah, I think it's the smart thing to do. I 100% agree with you. When it comes down to it, you have to be cautious with what you do at three. If you really believe, and I think the team believes it, that they can roll with Tua long term, and he shows that, then you just make those splash picks. You just keep going and you keep building and you build around him, right? But if there is a little hesitation, trade back, get more picks. Because if you have multiple first-round picks going into 2022 in Las Vegas, and Tua did not sell this franchise that he is the guy, and I'm still in 100% believe he will be the guy. But if he doesn't, something happens, he doesn't play well, he gets hurt, now you have the insurance policy, like you said. You have all those extra draft picks. Now you can move up. It doesn't hurt as much. You're not trading away the entire farm to do anything. And you can get your next guy. Or you could trade for Deshaun Watson in 2022. So there's always a possibility. Just don't know how things are going to play out. But I will say this. If the Dolphins do make a pick at three, it's going to be for a big-time player, a playmaker.
I think it's Chase.
It's going to be Chase.
By Crook, they have to stay at three. Because, look, we can say trade down, you know, and stuff, but somebody wants to trade up too. So it takes another team to want to trade up. It's easy for us to say trade down, but who's going to be the
willing party has to move.
Yeah.
Up.
Who's going to be that second team that wants to move up? But if they have to stay at three, I think it's Chase. Number one, LSU in recent years has been a wide receiver factory. They know how to make wide receivers to translate to the NFL game. You have obviously Landry, who we had, Odell Beckham, Justin Jefferson, the kid for Atlanta this year, his name right now slips my head. I think he was like picked in like round 6 or 7, or he might have been undrafted. He had a big year. LSU knows how to make wide receivers who translate to the NFL game. That's number one. Number two, he's very young. I think he's like 19 still. I mean, he's so young. And he had a huge 2019 season. He obviously sat out 2020. The thing with Smith, look, Devontae Smith, nobody's knocking Devontae Smith. I just don't want to take a guy who's built like he's built with that size at pick number three. That's just me. I might be wrong. He might be the greatest wide receiver in NFL history when it's all said and done. I just have a lot of fear of someone built that way taking him at number three.
I will say this. When it comes to Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, I don't care that they have history with Tua. I don't care. You take the best wide receiver in the draft. If that's Smith, you take Smith. If it's Waddle, you take Waddle. If it's Chase, you take Chase. But at the end of the day, I don't care that they have camaraderie with Tua. Tua needs to learn how to play with other players, not just the guys he was used to in Alabama.
We can't take every Alabama player. We can't take Harris. We can't take Waddle. I mean, you can't do that. Yeah. Go ahead.
But with Smith too, his frame is what it is right now. That doesn't mean when he gets into Miami that they're not going to put him on a program that's going to bulk him up an extra 15 pounds to get his frame more ready for this NFL beating he's about to take. And not have him lose any of that 4.2 around that 4.2 speed that he's got. So nothing is off the table.
No, it's not off the table. But
we have to be, we have to all think about this as you take the best player available at three if you're staying at three. And if it's not Smith or Waddle, you can't be mad about it. If it's Chase, you should be ecstatic. If it's Waddle, you should be ecstatic. If it's Smith, you should be ecstatic. They're getting four guys.
Hey, I spoke to an NFL guy who I respect. Not a source or anything, so don't go read into that. Who said Kyle Pitts should be like a top five pick in this draft. So I'm not saying Miami should take him there, but I'm saying don't be stunned if somebody does, because I think as a weapon in this modern NFL, and we see the passing games and how tight ends are used, Pitts is big time, okay? But for Miami, look, if they trade back, like we said, say they go down to pick eight and they get Smith there, that's great. I'm fine with that because it let them take extra capital. So we'll see how this plays out. We're a long time to the draft. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of leaks. There's going to be a lot of rumors. There's going to be a lot of everything between now and then. But we wanted to pop on and do a show because after the season and the way the season ended, Tom, I don't know about you. I was exhausted. Last year, it was a lot. And it obviously didn't end the way we wanted it to end, but they did win 10 games. They did take a giant leap from year one to year two, and the team improved. And I think this offseason is going to be fun. I do think they'll be somewhat active in free agency. I think the Miami Dolphins, and if you look back in their history, almost every year, with the exception of the year where they stripped everything away, they make one big signing every year. Now, I don't know who it's going to be, and we still have to see who's going to get the franchise tag. I know now they can start to apply the tag.
I don't think they know.
So not Hawk. Yeah.
It's cheap.
Yeah, so we'll see what they do there. Wide receivers, like guys like Robinson, I would love to have them, just don't know if it's financially feasible. Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm not a huge fan, but he would improve the team, clearly. I'm just not a huge fan of him personality-wise and with his off-the-field antics. Kenny Golladay for the Lions. When he's healthy, he's great. But I do think we might see them go with like a Marvin Jones type or a T.Y. Hilton, like on a short deal. I could absolutely see that. And then obviously add a wide receiver. Curtis Samuel, that's my guy. I would love Curtis Samuel. I just don't know if
there's a younger version of Albert Wilson. That's my costume. He's a younger version of Albert Wilson.
And I love Albert Wilson, but I also think he's, I don't want to say a lot better than Wilson, but he's a step above Wilson, I think. So there's that there. We'll see. A lot of wide receivers. And we also didn't mention the one for Tampa Bay, but I think he's going to get the tag there.
Godwin's going to get the tag. I think Robinson's even going to get the tag too in Chicago.
Because I think it makes sense to put on the tag and then try to trade him. Because that's what I think some of those what will happen with some of those guys. But if they get someone like a Samuel, if they get someone like a Hilton, even if they got Marvin Jones, when you put him on the field next to Preston Williams, who I know has got injury history, same with Parker, those three healthy, wide receivers in need, don't get me wrong, because they do need some youth there and stuff, but it's much improved over what they had last year. And when we look back at that 2020 season, the Miami Dolphins season shifted with the Preston Williams injury. That Arizona game, Tua was outstanding, and that's what everyone looks at. Tua was great in that game. After that game, he wasn't the same. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. He literally had nobody to throw the ball to. Preston Williams was gone. Parker, teams could then shift coverage to him. Then he got hurt and missed time, and nobody could step up. Malcolm Perry, Lynn Bowden, they're converted quarterbacks. They're learning wide receiver. We're in a playoff chase. There was nobody to throw the ball to. Fitzpatrick had his success because he's an old man who's seen everything. He's just going to fling it, and he doesn't care if it gets intercepted because that's his reputation anyways. He's got nothing to lose. For a young quarterback who's trying to lead a team to the playoffs, it's different. So I do cut him some slack there, Tua, but they need wide receivers, and I think one of those guys in free agency helps. Doesn't need to be the biggest name, but like I said, if it's a Hilton or like a Marvin Jones, I'm okay with that. And then add a piece in the draft, because I think this draft for wide receivers is deep, which is another reason why you can trade down from three. Yeah. And if you can get a, you will get a good wide receiver late round one, top of round two, No, you will get a good wide receiver. There's a kid from Minnesota. You got the kid from Purdue. There's a bunch of them out there. So it's going to be a fun offseason, Tom.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this stuff. We're going to have more, obviously, podcasts. We're going to have live shows. We're going to talk about all this, and we are going to be here with the breaking news when it comes to the Miami Dolphins and free agency. When news breaks, we are going to give it to you as always. So we appreciate everyone listening, and we appreciate everyone watching. So this was fun, Mike. I'm really happy that we started doing this, and I'm looking forward to doing this all.
Yeah, and let's just say that again for some people who might have missed it at the top of the show or who are watching us live right now and tuned in late. This is a new platform. We're going to be doing, I don't want to say all of our podcasts on, but some podcasts on. It's going to be really fun to watch where when we record live, whether it's Tom and myself, Ian and myself, maybe I'll do a show by myself and pop on here live, or whether it's Aaron and Josh when they do their shows, or Josh when he does a show by himself. We have the ability now to stream live on Facebook, on Twitter, and on YouTube. So that sort of leads into our plugs. Make sure you are following us on these platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and at Dolphins Talk Tom. And also follow us on YouTube. You have to go to YouTube and search DolphinsTalk.com YouTube page. Search for us there. Follow us there. Subscribe. So when we do a live show, it goes right to your smartphone, right to your tablet. And you know, you can hit a button, start watching us live as we record these shows. And also go to the Facebook page. I am a Miami Dolphins fan. That is the Facebook page we have teamed up with and that we work with, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. We have a link up on the main page of our website. So if you go to our website, whether on a tablet or a computer or on your smartphone, if it's a smartphone, scroll to the bottom. There's a link that says follow us on Facebook. Click it, follow that group. Or if you're on a tablet or just sitting down at a desktop, it's on the right-hand side, sort of near the top. So find that stuff. Follow us on our platform, because now with this ability to go live, whenever we do a show, you can join us live. If for those of you who have been watching us right now, you've seen, you can type comments. We put the comments up on the screen as the show's going on, so you can interact with us. This show, we really didn't do a question and answer show, but we can do a question and answer show where you can send us questions live, send us questions live, and we answer them on the show, and you are interacting with us live. So be on the lookout for that there. It's a great feature. Tom did a lot of work here. This is all Tom. He did a lot of the homework here. He did a lot of the legwork to get this up and running, and it's outstanding. So kudos to Tom, but follow us on all of our platforms, and this was fun for a first show. So everyone have a great Sunday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.